Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us as we approach the news and headlines. You know, most news outlets, they're very shallow, but yet very wide in terms of the depth. No depth, but certainly they cover a lot of headlines, and that's what Americans in the West are used to. We in turn go a little bit deeper and get the stories behind the headlines, get the real scoop behind the headlines. Folks, we broadcast weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be, Global Star Radio Network. And we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and also YouTube Live. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. Now, there's a lot of news out there. I do want to start off with something that that's kind of personal to me, and it made the news. And this is a tactic, all right. I want everyone to know this is a tactic. In case you missed it, or in case you haven't heard about it yet, everyone understands. For example, Bill O'Reilly was let go last week from Fox News, due in part, ostensibly, because of sexual harassment. And that seems to be the way things go. Now, did he do it? I don't know. I don't know. Do we know? I don't know. And many are falling to that activity. Now, I want people to understand. I want everyone to understand. I want people to take a broader look. Don't just settle on the headline. Take a broader look. Take a look behind the headline. And this is important because what we're seeing today is lawfare. I've talked about this many, many times. I've made mention of this. The latest, of course, is a internet blogger by the name of Debbie Schlossel, who on Friday on the Pat Campbell show on KFAQ 1170 out of Tulsa accused Sean Hannity of sexual harassment. Okay, now I knew about this obviously this weekend and Friday and such, and Pat Campbell's a very good friend of mine. He was the host. He is the host of the Pat Campbell Show, and he's a good friend of mine. I've known him for 15 years. He's a stellar guy, a fantastic talk show host, great family man, wonderful children, wonderful family. And the reason I bring him up is because he was the host of the show, where this Debbie Schlossel accused Sean Hannity of sexual harassment. The clip is on Facebook and I think the KFAQ website. I'm not sure where it's at. You can find it out there. Now, ordinarily, I would not mention this. And in the interest of full disclosure, I have a problem with Debbie Schlossel myself, because I am one of many, and I mean many, people that she has accused of plagiarism. She accused me of plagiarism. This is going back, 15 years. And just like, you know, I gotta tell you, really, of course she accused LA Times of plagiarism. She's accused Rush Limbaugh, I believe, of plagiarism. She accused Jerome Corsi of plagiarism. She calls Pamela Geller, Scamala Geller. She calls Hersey Ali, Ali Her, the and Bridget Gabriel, Muslim women. She's said some very unkind things to them. And there's not a person, in my view, that she does not like, or that she likes, should say, or respects. And she's got a little cult following, you know, Norman and certain people that kind of bolster her up and, you know, pat her on the head. And like, it's interesting because she also has a picture that's probably 20 years old on her website. I don't know how old it is, but it's dated. And of course, you know, to see her in real life, it's a huge difference. Not that that makes any difference in this conversation, but here's the thing, all right? Here's the bigger issue. Most people are missing the bigger issue. The tactic of the progressive. Oh, by the way, she's a conservative, self-proclaimed conservative. And the timing on this was unique because I'm going to kind of back up a little bit and just tell you that John Robertson, our program director and producer, had. Not knowing the relationship, the adverse relationship she has with me, I never had any problem with her until she accused me of plagiarism, but then, and which I never did. I mean, really. And you can read about it. It's on her site. It's good. Like I said, it goes back a dozen years or so, and it's, her accusations, in my view, are just, her claims are specious and they're idiot. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, she's, in my personal opinion, she is just off her rocker. And she's struggling for relevancy. She's, in my personal opinion, she's unhinged. Again, these are my personal opinions. And I'd like to remind everyone with, you know, the teams of lawyers, I'm allowed to have opinions here in the United States. Of course, that does not necessarily stop those who file defamation suits against yours truly, you know, for $10 million. It's fair game, right? Yeah. Just in case, you know, in case people just wonder why I have an attitude sometimes about things. And it's public knowledge, of course. You know, I spent the last year and a half defending a defamation suit. I'm one of a number of co-defendants in the defamation suit by someone. And it's cost me a lot of money. In my view, it's baseless, but I can't talk about it. See, I just can't talk about it. But the fact that it's there is public knowledge. But see, Deborah Schlossel had accused Sean Hannity of sexual harassment. Now, to me, this is the new racism. This is the new Islamophobia. This is the new whatever, you know. This is the new tactic. I shouldn't say it's new, but this is the takedown. Now, are some of the claims of sexual harassment, are they legitimate? I suppose. I don't know. That's for a court to decide, I suppose. But in this case, I know that Debbie Schlossel walked those claims back, apparently, from what I know. And my wife said something very interesting. She said, you know, it really hurts those women who have legitimate claims. And she's correct. But like anything else, the legal system has been weaponized because it is my understanding, and I could be incorrect. I spoke with Pat Campbell today for quite a while. And again, a great guy. But it's my understanding that she is going to in turn file a defamation suit against Sean Hannity. The difference between Sean Hannity and me, Sean Hannity's got deep pockets. I don't. Okay. But anyway, here's the thing. In my view, this is kind of a tactic of those people who want to silence people like us. No, I'm not saying that that's what this is, but you see the template that's emerging here. And again, I'm not saying that's what this is. You see the template that is emerging. Make an accusation. or file a lawsuit, cause the other person, cause damage to the other person's reputation, cause damage to the other person's pocketbook, cause damage to the other person's income stream, cause damage to the other person's sponsors, cause damage, inflict the most damage possible. And this is what's happening to conservative Christian talk show hosts out there. You understand it's a war that we're engaged in. And I think I would urge everyone to understand the bigger picture and to look at the bigger picture. In my personal opinion, this is a tactic of the progressive left to use the accusations such as this to silence those who are effective in telling the truth. Now, you might take issue and say, oh, well, Sean Hannity isn't, I never liked him or this or that. You know, it's not about the personality. It really is not. It's about the message, and it's about silencing the message. And I just want to drive that point home, because again, this may not and does not necessarily apply to Sean Hannity, because Sean Hannity is coming back, it's my understanding. He's got a lawyer, and he's suing Debbie Schlissel for making the accusations. And if you look at her website too, not that I recommend it, because I don't recommend time wasting. But if you look at her website, you'll see that she's accused him of everything from sexual harassment, in this case, actually embezzling money, from my understanding, from the way I read it. So, but in this case, this is someone striving for relevance lost. This is someone striving to be a scorched earth implement. Again, this is my personal and professional opinion based on what I know. And I find it sad. I look at her personally, I find it sad. And those plaintiffs, or the plaintiff in my case, you know, I find it very sad. I really do. I can't say a word. I can't say a word about it. But see, again, this is what I mention this only for one reason. You've got to understand the playing field. Look, the bigger, the more impact you have, the bigger the target you are. And you better know going into this arena of truth telling that you've got a target, and you're going to pay. They're going to attempt to make you pay. Whether the claims have any merit whatsoever or not, it doesn't matter. Just get that through your head. It does not matter if the claims have any merit whatsoever. The damage is inflicted, and the money is spent. Somebody like, for example, like Sean Hannity can spend, I'm sure has a lot easier time spending, you know, $400 an hour for an attorney or $600 an hour for an attorney than yours truly. You can count on it. Take that to the bank. But nonetheless, it's income bleed, right? This is what, in my personal opinion, my professional opinion, this is what the playing field is like now. So if you take that step up and you begin, you decide, okay, I'm going to start telling the truth, or I'm going to start delivering news, I'm going to start delivering, you know, getting into and exposing the wrong things that are taking place out there, you better be prepared for a fight, and an asymmetrical fight at that. And the asymmetry comes from lawfare. That's one of the tools. It comes from accusations, baseless, without merit. Trust me when I tell you, this is not a courteous fight, a civil fight. The people, the enemies of the truth, lack, in my personal opinion, they lack civility. In my personal opinion, they lack intellectual honesty. They lack morality. In my personal opinion, they lack spirituality. They lack decorum. They lack class. And they lack a moral and spiritual compass. It's not about right. I don't believe it's about right. It's about destruction. It's blood sport to many. It's a game to many. I want everyone to understand that, that the playing field, again, has been changed. You walk on the playing field, be prepared to take some hits. And damn expensive ones at that. And when I say expensive, oh yeah. But you see, you've got to carry on the fight. I can tell you this, you're going to find out who your friends are very quickly. You're going to find out who is backing you 100% very quickly. You're going to find out who can stand in the gap with you very quickly. Folks, my message is very simple. Whether it is this case, I think it's interesting. This case to me, this person that has, Debbie Schlessel, in my view, has done nothing but engaged in the process of destruction, personal destruction, inane and insane claims, in my personal opinion, against fine individuals, a number of fine individuals, for a decade and a half. And to me, that's sad. She has, in my personal opinion, attempted to destroy reputations. She has attempted to, I don't believe she's a very nice person. Now watch, I'll get sued. I'll be a named defendant. You don't think it can happen? It can. Hurt someone's feelings? Yeah. It can. Time is indeed short. The playing field has changed. The players are changed. The tactics have changed. And we're not going to do this tonight.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not going to do this, please. You know, I knew something was a little weird when my wife and daughter came to the studio.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
You know,
I really
don't
want to do this.
You take the fun out of everything, Dad, and you know, we got to wish you a happy birthday, and we got to do it properly with the family and the audience here.
Well,
it's the least we can do.
It does, does kind of take me off my stride. Not that some people will say I was never in one.
We can't get you, you know, out of the house or the studio long enough to get a surprise party going.
Mom licked one of the candles, so it won't light.
Folks, it was Renee's birthday was on Friday. My dad's birthday was on Saturday.
Well, thank you.
They
guys
just shared their 26th wedding anniversary, and they share a birthday minus one day. We went out and celebrated Renee's birthday on Friday evening with a very nice dinner.
All right.
And this is as much as he would let us do with him.
Had I known this, it wouldn't even happen, to be honest with you. But
on Friday, he told me if we did this, he was going to walk out live on air.
I can't do it right now, but I...
And then, Eric, that's what they're seeing on YouTube. That's a new camera that we have.
Okay.
It looks good.
Well, thank you very much. So do I have to blow these out?
So it's a 65th birthday.
Yes, sir.
It's not my 65th. It's not my 65th.
No.
Oh, I made a wish already.
I did.
It's a happy one. All right, so I can blow them out now. All right.
We're not going to sing?
I did it. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, here you go.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. And all of you listening out there and watching out there can come over for cake and, you know.
And, Dad, see, I was really going to get you with one of the snappers as you were blowing out the candle.
Yeah, it's nice. All right. So anyway, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. But you know,
no, you're right. I mean,
this whole thing has changed. It's you know.
And just a little background on this Debbie Schlussel. Back in 2006. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Renee.
Thank you very much.
Back in 2006.
Yeah.
She accused you of a number of things.
I can't remember.
Plagiarism being one of them. And she was taken to task by a number of people who were familiar with the situation back then. But since then, she's accused Jerome Corsi,
yeah,
Jeff Jacoby, a yeah, prize-winning journalist, Monica Crowley, Mark Levin, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity. That's just you know, alone off the top of on the top of my head of who she accuses of plagiarism. Then apparently she is the person behind the alleged sexual harassment claims that she says Sean Hannity
right,
waged against her, which then she has since walked back due to threats of being sued by Sean Hannity, I imagine.
Well, I think that's a done deal.
And then there was some weird
gonna be sued
comment she made on Twitter. Sean was mad at me because I dyed my hair red, and
but I thought that was like old.
No, that was from the 21st of April, okay, from if I read that correctly. But yeah, it's
well,
people are out there to get attention. And
see, it's really not about her. It's not about any one individual. It's about the collective efforts, and that's what I really want to drive home. It's about the. It is about the new way. And, you know, we had talked about the censorship aspect. In fact, you talked on Dave Hodges last night about, for example, YouTube demonetizing videos or other venues taking away ad revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, that does hurt a lot of people. It hurts us. But we have a great audience who support us in many ways, in financially. Some great, great people who fill in the gaps, and you have no idea how much that helps. But to those who don't have that honest to goodness, God-given lifeline, I feel horrible. I because those are the people who are risking everything, or who have risked everything and put, you know, everything on the line just to get the truth out there. Even enduring idiots, and I say that, and I know I overuse that word, but I do believe that that's accurate, definitively accurate, who send emails, you know, and harass, serial stalking, who send use condoms in the mail to us, packages that look like, you know, or other things that certainly don't pose any immediate hazard, as some bloggers would say, oh, well, I would call the police, you know, as if they know. They don't know. And everyone thinks they know. There were four or five different threads on the political far or right wing political route of Free Republic, and I was looking at some of the comments just about the Debbie Schlussel situation, and some of the people that were posting on there had no clue what the hell they were talking about. Absolutely, but would speak with authority. Oh man, you know, to me, I'm thinking, if you don't know, for example, okay, Pat Campbell's a great guy, by the way, and this has no one saying he's not, but Pat Campbell, to me, is one of the finest family men and finest talk show hosts I know. In fact, I owe him a breakfast. But anyway, they were saying things about him, writing things about him. But I spent probably 45 minutes on the phone with him today. If you don't know what the hell you're talking about, shut up! It's simple as that. How hard is that? Or if you do know and have something to add, how about a degree of civility? To me, calling someone racist or accusations of sexual harassment, what a classless act.
Specifically when they're made up of a whole cloth.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
obviously, sexual harassment is a serious thing, but when it is used as a tool,
you just have no idea what that
for
people,
attention to elevate your own okay. self.
You know, you go through a lot. I mean, we go through Eric, John Robertson, Joe, and I. Look, we go through a lot. You have no idea what we go through during the average day. The phone calls, the harassing, the stalking, the threats, the, you've got no idea. And you know, it's so funny because, yeah, I love it. Well, where's the police report if you get threats? Really? Do you really think that the police are interested in who's threatening us today? Call us when there's a homicide.
And I'm fortunate. You're the big personality. You catch most of the flack.
Oh, I don't know. There's a couple of people who want to beat you. Of course, I take it back. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I guess, look, I just want to tell you this with all of my heart. Number one, we appreciate each and every one of you as listeners. But number two, please understand. If you, for example, Rick Wiles. Oh, and the thing I want to talk to, I know we're at the break, but, you know, Tom Bowerly, WBEN, he was under surveillance. And I remember, in fact, the individual who was the impetus behind this defamation suit against me saying, well, you know, that's all BS, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wouldn't you know? You know, Tom Bowerly, if you read Canada Free Press about a year, what, 6, 7, 8 months ago, you'll find out that, no BS, surveillance, big time. He was under surveillance and harassed. Yeah, anyway.
Folks, we are coming up against our break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Josh Tolley. He's the first guest tonight. We got a fantastic show lined up for you. You're not going to want to go anywhere. It's going to be an information-packed show. Excuse me. And when we come back, Josh Tolley will be joining us to give us some new information and some updates on some stuff he talked about on the show before. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
We'll be right back.
tuned to this edition of the Hagman Hag Report. Our guest, Josh Tully, of the Josh Tully Show. The link is in the program description. And also, folks, look for the Old Time Radio on our website. And there you'll find the schedule for the week and find the appropriate links to everyone's show. John Robertson does a fantastic job in really creating that. Josh Tully is on today because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Three years ago, Josh Tully was on Turkish television. And in fact, he was on our show. I'm not sure what the time frame is, but he was saying, watch Turkey. Turkey's going to be a big deal. And sure enough, it is, especially with the news out of Turkey and the consolidation of power by Erdogan. Josh, come on board, my friend.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Great to see you guys again.
Nice to see you. And by the way, folks, Josh Tully, can I say you're...
Oh, sure, yeah.
Josh Tully got married. In fact, he's been married about 10 weeks. So wish him a happy marriage, and he's got a beautiful wife, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So anyway, yeah, Josh, you were talking about Turkey before it was popular. What's going on?
Oh, so, okay, yeah. Years and years and years ago, I was already talking about Turkey, how Turkey's in play, how we have to be careful of what Turkey's doing. And what's interesting is about a year and a half ago, I believe, I was on your show, at least a good solid year, and I was talking about Erdogan, however people want to pronounce it, and I said, look, this guy is a power-hungry, maniacal just disaster waiting to happen, and he was building the world's largest presidential palace of the modern era. And I said, there's no way this guy's going to give up power. I mean, this is a serious power play. And as time grew, so we saw it kind of come to fruition. And I got hundreds and hundreds of emails just full of hate from people in Turkey about how I'm talking down against Erdogan and how he's a great leader of democracy. And I said, just wait, just watch. Because it's not that hard to predict when power-hungry people want to be power-hungry people. So I predicted the coup. I predicted the coup would fail. And I also predicted that he would use the coup as a way to consolidate power. And the reason the coup was so easy to predict, because people asked, you know, did you have some sort of inside knowledge? And the answer is no. No, I didn't. But because he wasn't able to grab the power, well, then he needed to do something. He either had to have an internal tragedy or a military action, and a coup is kind of the best of both worlds in a way. So I'm saying that, yes, the coup was a setup. And I said that when I predicted it. I said it's going to be a setup because afterwards he's going to get the power that the people were not willing to give him before the coup. And sure enough, look at where we're at now. And if people aren't paying attention, on the 15th or 16th of this month, he essentially became Sultan of Turkey. He's rebuilding the Ottoman Empire. What he got passed is really a referendum of unchecked power. They are completely eliminating the office of prime minister. That's gone. They're getting rid of a series of judges that served as a check and balance system to the president. That's gone. They're getting rid of the separation of parties between the president and the other political parties. That's gone. They're increasing the amount of authority he can wield without any sort of approval, so that's increased. And he's going to be president now until at least 2029. And even then, he can continue to run if the congressional members approve it. And, of course, now that there's no separation of parties, of course they're going to approve it. So he's essentially now the Sultan of Turkey. Now, what's interesting about that, and before this power play, before the coup even, he was pushing for a unified Islamic army, something that people said would never happen because the Sunni and the Shiites have been fighting each other for so long, there's not going to be a united army. Well, don't be so sure about that, because now he's saying with the threat of ISIS and how that really is going to be a threat to Mecca and how there is no solid caliphate, let Turkey become the caliphate, create this unified Muslim army, and at least until we get rid of the great Satan, we can have a unified front. And if you don't believe it's happening, just watch. I mean, look at it, what was it, only a year ago when they had a moment of silence at that Turkish soccer game, And instead of a moment of silence, the audience started screaming Allah Akbar, and they started, you know, just going crazy. So what we've seen in Turkey, it should be alarming to everybody, believer or non-believer alike, because it's a consolidation of power in what is a NATO member. See, now that's the other part of this. This is a guy who's part of, or at least he's trying to be part of the EU. He's trying to be a member of alliances militarily with the U.S. So you have almost like a fox in the hen house, so to speak. You know, some of these countries you can say, well, at least they're on the outside. They're not part of these alliances. That's not the case with Turkey. Turkey is part of these alliances. So now you're having a predominantly Muslim majority country and going more radical, not less, more fundamentalist, not secular, as part of these alliances, which causes a massive red flag for anybody who's paying attention.
Yeah, you know, and reading over, there was 18 constitutional amendments that Turkey approved. And the article I'm looking at is from the Washington Post. It says Erdogan was not the authoritarian all along. But then they go to talk about how, you know, there's been a huge increase in the jailings of journalist opponents, how he's decapitated the armed forces, brought force against peaceful protesters. And
yeah,
there is, you know, some people, like Stan Deo, have their eye on him, that he is, you know, the one behind the caliphate that trying to push this.
Could be Islamic Antichrist, as some people believe.
And we know he is somebody who has purposefully unleashed, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of refugees into European nations. I mean, there's a number of things that this man has done, and it seems as though he wants to continue to consolidate power, and he does so with the authoritarian rule. And Turkey is a NATO member, an ally of the United States. So where does that put Turkey in when we talk about the Syrian civil war, when we talk about, you know, the warmongering with Iran, the further destabilization of the Middle East? Is Turkey going to come out of this as a powerhouse? Are they going to be a major player in, you know, the future of what happens in the Middle East as far as the conflicts and the solutions? What do you think we'll see from Erdogan now that he has these, basically these new powers and the sweeping authority?
Well, that's a great question, because remember, just last year he shot down a Russian fighter jet and seemingly got away with it. And then a Russian foreign minister was shot point blank by a Turkish police officer right at an art exhibit. So this guy is not afraid to flex his muscle. He's also not afraid to hide things under the radar either. He's been caught funding ISIS as well as supposedly fighting ISIS, and I'm not saying we're any more innocent. I mean, if you look at the history of ISIS, we started it. But the point is that this guy's not a good player. And then you take that a step further with the threats he was making against Europe before these elections just a few weeks ago, talking about how if Europe is banning Muslim immigrants, then he's going to unleash a new wave of Muslim immigrants back into Europe. Well, that doesn't sound like somebody who's part of the European player. I mean, that's outside the box. But when it comes to relationships with other countries, and especially when it comes to Syria, think of the situation we have right now. We have Donald Trump, who is now deciding to oust Bashar al-Assad, even though 4 months ago he was saying that would be stupid and foolish, we need to leave him there. So now you have a situation where we have a strained relationship with Russia. Mm-hmm. Somebody who we were supposedly going to have the best relationship ever with, because, you know, they were going to be buddy-buddy friends, turns out that we're going the other direction on that as well. Now add to that the fact that the Iranians don't want to play with U.S., and they certainly are not too friendly with other European members, but in comes Turkey, able to negotiate the deal because they're a Muslim country too. So, no, they have a lot of power. They have a lot of power not only now but moving forward as whatever happens. They're going to be the spearhead at designing what the region's going to look like next. because nobody's going to trust the Russians because, well, they've been behind an ordeal to divide it up. Nobody's going to get behind the U.S. and America because they're even more guilty at dividing it all up. So when somebody has to come to the table and say, okay, now what do we do? Well, Turkey's the natural selection because now you have somebody who's part of the team that is putting it back together, but they're also part of the Muslim team, so they have that same shared faith and all that sort of stuff. So it's really a dangerous place to be. And Doug, you mentioned that, you know, there's reference that he might be the Islamic Antichrist. If you draw a line straight north out of Jerusalem, you don't hit Moscow, you hit Turkey.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's a lot to be said for that as well. And we need to pay attention to what he's doing here in America. Turkey has built the largest mosque in the United States. Yeah.
That's right.
The nation of Turkey built the largest mosque in the United States. It's about 30 to 40 minutes outside D.C. In addition to that, you had General Michael Flynn recently had to register himself as a foreign agent because you've come to find out that he was actually working for Turkey. He's a foreign agent for Turkey inside the United States government. Now, this is a man who went around the country telling everybody what a risk Islam is, only to find out that he is on the payroll of one of the men who is supplying and sponsoring some of the most radical Islamic terrorists in the world. It kind of makes you scratch your head and think, wait a second, who's on whose team here? And he's just one of now three Trump administration officials who have had to retroactively register as foreign agents. So there is definitely something going on here.
I got to ask you, Josh, how do you, and I didn't mean to jump in, but how do you perceive Donald Trump in this? Do you perceive Donald Trump as knowing this is going to happen, adapting to situations, a little bit of both, or what? Co-opted or just overwhelmed? I mean, because this is not what we bargained for in this respect with Donald Trump.
No, brilliant point. And it's not. Nobody on the Trump team, you know, no voter of Trump could say, yes, this is the Trump we thought we were going to get. That is beyond obvious. So then some questions kind of come up. Is he just playing, you know, sly as a fox? Well, the first few weeks, a lot of people thought maybe. But then you start seeing what we're doing here. You know, we actually predicted on your show before the election, I said, now watch, he's going to get in office and he's going to change his mind on the Dreamers. He's going to change his mind on the people who are already here. He's going to let them stay. And after that show, people emailed me, no, you Josh, you have to believe in Trump. He's going to do what he said. Well, he's changed his mind on the Dreamers. And he's changed his mind on a bunch of other things, too. Julian Assange is just another example. Five months ago, he was praising Julian Assange and how he's going to use that information to defeat Hillary Clinton, and it worked. Now, instead of going after Hillary Clinton, because in his own words, well, she's been through enough. Really? She has? But that's what Trump said. Direct quote. So Hillary's been through enough, so instead they're going to go after Julian Assange. And this is something that we also talked about on your show. I said be very, very careful, because Trump's side and Hillary's side are both claiming to now want to go after what's called fake news. And I said, as soon as one of them gets in power, they get to define what is and what is not fake. Well, if WikiLeaks gets to be defined as fake news, and they're filing charges against him, where does that stop? Does it stop at us if we're going to be honest? Do we have to play the Trump card, or they might get rid of us? And if that's the case, is that really the Trump you voted for? Now, I'm hopefully wrong about where I think this is going. What's already happened has happened. That I'm right about. But where this is going doesn't look too good, because you have two camps inside the White House. You have the Kushner-Ivanka camp and their ilk, and then you have the Bannon nationalist camp and their ilk. Well, right now it looks like the nationalist American First people are losing, and the globalists are dominating. And even if you look at some of the personal positions Trump has made over the past year compared to what he's making now, it seems like a flip-flop. I mean, for goodness sakes, he said in 2018, the targets are the Freedom Caucus and the Democrats.
Yep.
Well, the Freedom Caucus most aligns with most of the listeners and viewers of your show.
Absolutely.
So that's now the target? Really? So it really leaves you scratching your head, and I get it, it's early. But he's also the guy who said, well, watch the first 100 days. We're going to get more done in the first 100 days. These are the things we're going to get done. And then 2 days ago, an interview comes out with him where he stresses the non-importance of the first 100 days. It's really an antiquated thing that they use to measure. It's not that big of a deal. Well, why is it not that big of a deal? Because you don't want us looking at what you did or didn't do? And now add to that Turkey. Turkey loves Trump. Turkey's praising Trump. And then Trump is also praising Turkey. Wait a second. This is a dictator who just usurped the Constitution, essentially. A lot of people in Turkey are questioning if the results of this election were even fair. And this is something that we're going to praise? Somebody who wants to rule indefinitely and limit the power of the people? Somebody who's locking up non-believers? Somebody who's locking up dissenting journalists? That's the example that the American president's going to praise? That alone is enough to raise some red flags.
Yeah, it is, Josh, and you bring up some good points here. Specifically with Trump, what we've seen with his actions in Syria, the rhetoric with Korea, many people are asking the question, even with the number of advisors that surround him, does Donald Trump understand foreign policy? Does he have the ability to make good foreign policy decisions? As we know, there's not a lot of room for mistakes, especially when you're dealing with wars, conflicts, and a whole host of other issues, very important issues that could mean life or death for hundreds of thousands of people. And a lot of pundits said that this would be his Achilles heel, at least until he found a way to navigate properly and learn who to trust when dealing with foreign policy. And as you said, the election results in Turkey, I think it was that you said 1.6% was the margin of victory, and leaving many people to ask, was there fraud involved? And a lot of people will say yes, due to Adrogan's control.
But how do you even know? I mean, right. How would you even know?
And then Trump called to congratulate him.
Josh.
And I think that's a diplomatic move,
I had
to guess.
Whatever. Okay, that's really not. I mean, Josh, does that make a difference to you that he called and congratulated the guy? Or?
No, I mean, Joe's right. I mean, you're going to call anybody who's supposedly on your team and say congratulations. Putin called Trump, after all. But, you bring up an interesting point about the international stuff. Some people are starting to think, well, wait a second. Flynn also asked for immunity when it came to the Russian investigation. Is there something there? And I'm not saying there is or there isn't, but if there is, let's just travel down that road a second. If there is, how would you take the focus off of what's happening in D.C.? You would put it on what's happening someplace else. You'd have some sort of emergency military sort of situation. And some people have even floated the idea that neither Trump nor Putin want to get caught up in this. So they've agreed to play fake bad guys to each other so that both of their respective countries wouldn't pay attention to what's going on inside the country and instead look at the escalating conflict between the two. So it depends on how deep down the rabbit hole you want to go. But either way, we are in a situation right now that we were supposedly not going to be in domestically, and almost assuredly we weren't supposed to be in internationally. Because what's happening in the Middle East right now was the exact sort of thing he ran opposed to. He was pointing out how Hillary wants to strike Assad's airports and how that's terrible and stupid, especially now that he's getting the national security briefings. Well, wait a second. Now he wants to do it, and well, he did. So it really makes you start to ask yourself, what's going on? What's going on? And this is the same guy who said, well, wait a second, if we are ever going to strike somebody, we're going to continue to strike, we're going in to win, we're taking the oil, and I'm not saying that that's what I want, I'm just saying, well, what happened to that guy even? So it seems like the two people that Donald was before the election is not the same Donald that we have currently. And please understand me, I'm still rooting for him to do what he said he was going to do, but I remember on this show, prior to the election, I said, regardless of who wins, one thing is guaranteed, that the government is getting bigger. Yep. Well, guess what? The government is getting bigger.
Yep.
So if you're a freedom-loving Bible believer, then your focus should not be on so much, is Donald really the guy who's sent by God? Your focus should be on, Are you doing what you're supposed to do to answer your call to God and let God worry about the rest? Because as we seem to be traveling down the road of time here, time seems to be running out.
Indeed it does. And speaking of time running out, I don't want to miss this opportunity. Back in, I think it was March 18th or thereabouts, you had uploaded a video to your channel. You'd done an interview with a whistleblower. Deceased refugees obtaining social security numbers, passports, etc. upon arriving. These people coming into the night flights in the airports. Josh, I don't know if you want to continue, if you have any more points with respect to Turkey geopolitics, or if we can jump to that, because I really want to make sure we get into that as well, and to just reaffirm your, I mean,
yeah,
you set the internet on fire with that video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Not only the internet, I set the phone lines between agencies abuzz too, because what we found is, well, it's absolutely true. We ran that interview and we got contacted by so many, not only contacted, we're still getting contacted by so many people who are witnessing this happen in their communities or their churches or their part of it. Matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I was approached by a DHS employee who said that they saw that video and said that absolutely everything that woman said in the video is true, that it is happening. And I said, well, will you come on tape and say that? And she said, absolutely not. I would get fired or more. I said, well, we'll blur out your face. And she said, that doesn't actually work anymore. We have technology that unblurs and undistorts the voice. So, no, I'm not coming on tape. But she wanted us to know that it was true.
No more blue dot. Remember the William Kennedy Smith rape trial back in the 90s? No more blue dot. Doggone it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, okay, so, help us. What do we do? I mean, is there anything being done?
Here's where we kind of run into another situation where, well, who's on whose side? Because remember, the biggest, I guess, culprit when it comes to fake IDs, fake vetting in order to get into the United States was Iraq. Iraq was the number one place to get a fake ID in the Middle East if you wanted to illegally get into the United States under the legal refugee resettlement program, because it was the easiest place to get fake identification and the hardest place to vet. Well, it turns out that Trump has taken away Iraq as one of the countries that we have to be concerned about, even though we know for a fact that that was one of the biggest places that the bad guys were going to get fake IDs. And part of that was because of the infrastructure we left behind when we created the vacuum and what ISIS got their hands on. So, yeah, we still have to be concerned about it, and oddly enough, it ties back into what we were talking about earlier. So this has to be something that we all need to be aware of. We all need to be at least vigilant about. I'm not into fear-mongering. I'm not into, well, the sky is falling. That's not it. As long as there's breath in our lungs and God's on the throne, we have hope. But we still have to be aware of what's going on around us. And that is something that we need to be aware of, because so far it hasn't slowed down. And yes, the president does know that it was happening. So that makes you ask the question, why hasn't it slowed down? Some people are saying, well, Trump's just continuing with the policy that Obama put into place because it hasn't ran its course yet. And that might be true in part, but he has the authority to stop it, especially when we talk about the flights that land in the middle of the night with refugees that were not vetted and are given social security numbers and passports.
Josh, we only have about 2 minutes left before the end of the segment. Just a few things. One, we have a special show coming up, and I know we don't have time to get into it right now. I wanted to kind of talk to you about what you're going through with YouTube and from the revenue to, you know, the demonetization, the whole censorship issue, and the number of ways that they're doing it through pulling the money, demonetization, and a whole host of other things. But Friday, we're going to have a roundtable discussion where you're going to be joining my father, myself, Sheila Zielinski, Dave Hodges.
You know, I'm going to tell you, Josh's information, Joe, and folks, you'd pay normally to get that information, that kind of information. He's a marketing guy.
Yeah, we're having a special 3-hour roundtable group with media personalities discussing you know, the future of the media, where we are, where we're going, and what's happening to the alternative media. So I guess I'll save that question until Friday. But you know, the refugee issue that you broke, and you know, the flying the refugees in under the cover of night, the possibility of them being sick and contaminated, the different organizations that are being paid, I think it was $2,000+, $2,500 a head they were being paid, like Catholic Charities you mentioned. And you know, since your report, I have not seen anything in the news, and I've been looking to see if there's any more whistleblowers, if anybody else picked up and reported on the story that you broke. It's been very quiet, which is, to me, is troubling, because I believe that there is, you know, back to the censorship issue. There are people who are trying to keep this on you know, as quiet as possible. And I also wonder, you know, if anything's changed from, you know, the top down, from the White House and the executive branch, if anything has had to be switched around to where they're doing it completely under the radar of everybody, or if it's still even going on. But Josh, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you guys.
And we look forward to having you to come on Friday for the media roundtable discussion. That's going to be great. The Josh Tully Show is where you can listen to Josh Tully.
What time?
Every day, 9 to 11 Central, joshtully.com, and we got a new app on Apple and Google Play, too.
Perfect. All right, brother.
Thank you, guys. God bless. See you Friday.
Evangelpreneur is the book. Get that.
There you go. You have the first try.
That's right.
You got it.
All right. We'll break back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com, that's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.